You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Actually, Maggie's not here. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm guest hosting for Maggie today, along with my stellar co-host, Angela Lang. We like to do this together over the last several months, and it's always a joy, Angela, to be here with you.
Same, likewise. And thanks, Judge Taylor, for being here.
Yeah,
well, thanks so much for having me.
We've got appellate court judge Chris Taylor on the stream with us. She is running for Wisconsin Supreme Court. And you can join our conversation anytime by phone or by text. The number for both is 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. If you want to talk with Judge Taylor, just give us a holler. Judge Taylor, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
You know, Justice Susan Crawford was sworn in just the other day. Were you there? What do you make of her ascendancy?
Oh, I was just so thrilled. Just absolutely thrilled. I was so proud of the people of the state of Wisconsin who rejected the efforts of the richest man in the world to buy a seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I just was inspired by that. I was so proud of the people of the state. I was so proud to be from Wisconsin. And I thought it was a great celebration of the democratic process and the people having the say, the ultimate say in who they elect to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So it was a celebration, in my opinion. It was a celebration of democracy, judicial independence, fairness. I just have the utmost respect for Justice Crawford. I served with her when I was a circuit court judge. She's going to do a great job. She is just so conscientious and so committed to considering the different sides and issues and applying the law in the most just way that she can. So I'm really excited to see that and see her there.
It was an inspiring victory and a black eye for Elon Musk.
And he deserves them. We needed that. I mean, so with that being said too, that was going to be one of my first questions is like, what are the lessons learned from the Crawford campaign? I mean, We've been dealing with state Supreme Court races and tensions for years now, right? We've kind of gotten used to it. But the last cycle felt very different. There was this new element with, you know, the Trump administration and Elon with these $1 million checks. What are any lessons learned? Because I think we also might be entering some new territory if that's how our last election was. What are you thinking about doing things differently the next time?
Yeah, well, let me tell you, I think one thing that people are really realizing is that they are not going to be able to depend on the U.S. Supreme Court to protect our democracy and to protect our rights. That is going to happen in the state. And what it's going to come down to, I think, given the abdication of the U.S. Supreme Court on their role in checking unlawful conduct by the other two branches of government, is it's going to come down to our state Supreme Court to really stand up for people, to really defend our democracy, to really defend due process and people's constitutional rights. And so I think that was something that the people of the state of Wisconsin really understood. I also think the other thing that's happening is people are really seeing how important it is to have an independent judiciary, to have a judiciary that's not under the thumb of the other two branches of government. And I really saw this so clearly when I was in the legislature and there were things happening. And I remember thinking, wow, some of these bills that are being passed are just not good for the people. They're not lawful. They're not constitutional. But at that time, we didn't have a state Supreme Court that was willing to check the state legislature. And it was a terrible feeling, a very helpless feeling, because the court, that is one of the central roles of the state Supreme Court, is to make sure the other branches of government are not acting in unlawful and constitutional ways. So I think people are really understanding the importance of the court. And then I think the third lesson is that people want the court not only to be independent and not only to check the power of the two other branches, but they want a court who's in their, on their side, who's going to be in their corner, who is going to stand up for everyday Wisconsinites, not the most powerful special interests, not the people who have all the power. And that's really what I think Justice Rebecca Bradley, who I'm running against, that has been what she's done. I think that she has not stood up for the people of the state of Wisconsin, but has been under the thumb of these right-wing special interests like the Federalist Society and these other groups that have a lot of power. But for me, this campaign is about, and I think Susan Crawford's victory is about the power of the people collectively, mm-hmm. that they should be at the center of their government, and they have the power to control that, to control their government and to make sure their government is really standing up for them and is really reflecting what they need from the judiciary, what they need from the legislature. So I think those are three lessons, certainly, that I'm watching and learning, but I think our state has really shown the country and the world that we're understanding that really clearly here in Wisconsin.
We're speaking with Judge Chris Taylor, who's running for the state Supreme Court. And now you're sure Rebecca Bradley is running? I guess she hasn't raised any money.
That was going to be my question. I'm like, are we sure she's running?
Well, you know, she said she's running. She announced the night that Susan Crawford was elected, when she also said she did not want to work with Susan Crawford, which I was really quite appalled by those comments.
It was tacky, in my opinion. Well, it was tacky.
And
I will say that. You don't have to. I will.
This is what I'm going to say as an appellate court judge now is it's particularly concerning because we write decisions in panels. Mm-hmm. I do write some individual decisions on the appellate court, but mostly I'm writing in a panel of three judges, and the Supreme Court writes in a panel of seven. I mean, they sit around a conference table and talk about, okay, this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to, as appellate judges, listen to our colleagues, consider other opinions, because, you know, I know I don't know everything. I know I learn from my colleagues, and hopefully they're learning from me. And so that discussion that happens when you're reviewing a case and when you're looking at the briefings and going through oral argument is so critical in reaching the best decision. And so if you're not willing to do that, you should not be on the appellate court.
I mean, she has shown Rebecca Bradley, the bad Bradley, as we call her on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, that she doesn't have the judicial temperament to be there. I mean, she is vile toward even her fellow conservative Brian Hagedorn, both in writing decisions and then in public comments about him. So it's just a very peculiar approach to collegiality. I mean, she's not collegial at all, as referenced by her comment that she didn't want to work with Susan Crawford. I mean, what a ridiculous thing to say.
Well, and it means you really can't do the job.
Right.
Honestly. Yeah. If you cannot have discussions with people who you might not see eye to eye with. I mean, that for me is, I actually like those discussions. Mm-hmm. I like talking to people who have different views than me, because what I know is I don't always know. I'm not always right. You know, I think that's how we expand our minds. That's how we consider different opinions. And even the legislature, I really enjoyed figuring out, how do I work? What are the issues I can work with some of my Republican colleagues who I might disagree with on a lot of things, but I was, you know, really, really happy that I found areas to work collectively with my colleagues on, when maybe, you know, we didn't agree on a lot of other things. But there's usually something you can find that you agree on and that you can work on. And that really brought me a lot of satisfaction. And I think, honestly, I got some really important bill passed when I was in the legislature because of these conversations that I had with, you know, legislators. And in some ways, I didn't care if they were Democrat or Republican on these issues, as long as we could agree that was important. And that happens on the appellate court. I'm constantly having discussions with my colleagues who I'm on these panels with. We are always going back and forth, and what about this, and what about this case? And it's a really fun, stimulating environment. And if you don't have that, you're not going to write the best decisions.
We're speaking with Chris Taylor. I'm Matt Rothschild, guest hosting along with Angela Lang here on the Maggie Dawn Show. You know, I think if and when, and I think it will be when you get on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, I think you'd enjoy working with Justice Brian Hagedorn, who ran as an ultra-conservative but has ruled from the bench with an independent mind and also a moderate style in his writings by and large. And he wasn't afraid to join with his liberal partners there on the court on some really big cases. The biggest of all was the Trump versus Wisconsin case on the voting in 2020. And so I think that would be someone you could work with, don't you?
I can work with anybody. I mean, I really can. And I look forward. I'd be honored to work with Justice Hagedorn. I'd be honored to work with Justice Ziegler on the court. If I was on the court now, I'd be attempting to work with Rebecca Bradley. I mean, there's nobody I won't work with. And so, yes, absolutely. I look forward to working with him. I look forward to learning from him and hopefully, you know, maybe assisting him in thinking of different angles that he hasn't thought of. But that is the point of these appellate courts. And so, yes, that I welcome that.
You know, one of the things I think we've all learned here in Wisconsin since Scott Walker was first elected governor is how important statewide races are, how important even local races are, but races for governor, races for attorney general, races for Wisconsin Supreme Court, these are crucial. And I know there may be some listeners right now on civic media who are more concerned with Donald Trump and what happens at the national level, or more concerned what's going on in Congress. But the decisions by the Wisconsin Supreme Court impact us on a daily basis here. And you're right, Judge Taylor, that right now the only way to preserve our rights is through our state constitution and our state Supreme Court, because at the federal level, everything is in the hands of people who don't respect our rights. And that's why I want to encourage everyone to get involved locally in these races. And this is a crucial race. If people wanted to support you, how would they go about doing that, Judge Taylor?
Well, first of all, they can definitely go to my website, www.chris4justice.com. They can join the campaign. They can learn more, you know, go to my website, learn more about me, talk to your friends, talk to your families, talk to your community about why this race is so important. Come to events that we'll be having around the state. And, you know, those are some immediate ways that people can get involved. But this is, you know, this is a people-led campaign. If you care about justice, please join me.
Well, thanks so much for being our guest today, Judge
Taylor.
And we'll be right back on the Maggie Dawn Show. The number to call, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's off for the day, so I'm guest hosting along with Angela Lang, and we just had Judge Chris Taylor, who's running for Wisconsin Supreme Court, and it was great of her to take time off from her busy campaigning. She's got 8 months more to go, Angela, and she seems like a little happy warrior.
Yeah, her energy levels are great. The passion, right, and the fact that she is talking about, like, the Wisconsin folks. We had the secret show that we like to call it, if folks were listening, and, you know, her passion for meeting and connecting with people and to see what they're doing, like, it really does feel like a people powered campaign. And I will say this too, and I didn't, you know, I don't want her to have to always keep bringing it up, but I had once upon a time had a conversation with her, and I'm like, please, for the love of God, do not run tough on crime ads. They do nothing. And then she said that she read the pieces that I wrote for the recombobulation area. And sure enough, it didn't come up at all. She's centered even in the interview with us. She's talking about the issues. She's talking about, you know, judicial philosophy, working across the aisle, things like that. So I think I'm really encouraged, right, that I think this is an opportunity to do things differently. And that's kind of why I asked that like lessons learned question, because she gets straight to the issues. And mm-hmm. we've seen Supreme Court be hyper-partisan. And it feels like she's trying to pull us back to the role of the Supreme Court, especially in this moment with everything happening nationally.
You can join the conversation here, 855-752-4842. We've got Joe from Madison online. I always like listening to what Joe has to say. So, Joe, what you got for us?
Well, I would like to respond to a question you brought up in your first half hour, which was give us a call if you've got some ideas on who you might like to see for governor in the yeah. upcoming race. And then it went on to this incredibly great discussion. I really urge people to listen to it. The student of Mr. Chesky that you had on, Bob Chesky, and he was just terrific talking about the disintegration of media, if you will. Yeah. And then to hear this enthusiastic, upbeat Chris Taylor, who is would love to head for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And what got me about it is that I was thinking, well, who do I want to have for governor? It's less that a person that necessarily a name, more than an attitude, several attitudes. Mm. And one of the attitudes that I really want to see is enough of the divisions, enough of the North never goes south. I hate Milwaukee. Milwaukee has never been north of Wausau. Enough with this. This is an incredible state. And I know the word diversity makes some people cringe and all. Let's call it different stories, whatever you want to call it. But boy, we go off the charts in terms of diversity. And I would love to see someone who celebrates the state from Northern Forest, the Lake Superior, that whole lifestyle that's up there to the Mississippi River, to our urban areas. And oddly enough, one person that occurred to me is somebody who is very big on PBS, and that is Wisconsin Foodie, who is constantly traveling around this state and celebrating the little corners of great food all around the state and opening a door to say, look, this is our state. Look at this really cool thing we have. I cannot stand this idea of dumping on Madison, dumping on Milwaukee, and you know, keeping people separated, which is something that Scott Walker really touted and excelled at. And it is not what we need as we head forward. We have too many great people here, too many great opportunities, and to lose it by division is just, it's sinful. It's absolutely wrong. Mm. So that was my two cents I wanted to add. And I really thought that Chris Taylor really had an attitude of, I'm open, I want to hear what's going on, and forward we go, which is the best way that we could be, is a open and let's go forward.
Thanks so much for that call,
Thanks, Joe.
And yes, you know, what you were saying about our state being an incredible state and not a divided state the way people want to depict us as a divided state, so important. And Judge Taylor, before we were on the air, was making the exact same point, which was really neat. She travels all over the state. She's going to Adams County. She's going all over the place. You know, every day she goes to a different community. And she was telling Angela and me that what impresses her wherever she is that there are so many great people doing great work. Mm-hmm. You know, she just loves the people of Wisconsin. And she says that the people of Wisconsin, the citizens of Wisconsin, are so much more engaged than citizens in other states. I don't know if she's been to all 50, but, you know, it is a remarkable thing about Wisconsin. People want to see our government work. We are close to our elected officials, especially in the state capital and at the local level. They expect our state to work. They demand that our state works. Enough of the, you know, easy blaming and sometimes racist blaming of folks in Milwaukee, or the casual blaming of all politicians down in Madison. I used to hear that when I would travel up north giving talks, even from Democratic politicians. Well, down in Madison, you do that. And that was just wrong messaging. You're reinforcing ideas that are false, that all politicians are the same, that all politicians are crooked, and that all politicians are just out for their own ambition. That's not true. I mean, I know Mark Pocan. I know Tammy Baldwin at a personal level, and they're not that way. And so this dumping on Madison, this dumping on Milwaukee has got to stop. And I was just thrilled to hear Judge Taylor talk about how great she thinks the state is, how great she thinks the people of Wisconsin are. It wasn't just platitudes. It wasn't just a politician
This was a secret show. Like, she wasn't doing it for air yet.
We were off the air. She wasn't gaining anything by telling us that. And she sincerely believes that. And we need that in our elected officials who go out all over the state, listen, respect everybody in the state, and want to represent them and represent them in the best possible way. That was Judge Chris Taylor at her finest, I think. And I've admired her as a legislator and as a judge. And I just wish her all the best in this campaign. Yep. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, guest hosting along with Angela Lang. And we'll be right back after this break. You can join the conversation. Who do you want to see as governor of Wisconsin? 855-752-4842. Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show all across the Civic Media Radio Network here in Wisconsin. Maggie's out today, and I'm Matt Rothschild, happily sitting in for her, along with my wonderful co-host, Angela Lang. You can join the conversation anytime by phone or text. The number for both is 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842 or 855-75-CIVIC, if you want to spell it out. We've got Troy from Mount Horeb on the line. Troy, what's on your mind?
Hello, Matt. Hello, Angela.
Hey.
Hey.
Talk to us. You're cutting out, Troy. Can you hear us? Can you speak? Otherwise, we'll have you call back. Troy, we're missing you. I guess we're going to have you try calling back. It sounds like you're out driving. We'd love to hear from you again if you're within audio range. I want to know who else wants somebody to run for governor. The number is 855-752-4842. We've got Sarah Rodriguez, the lieutenant governor, already thrown her hat in the ring. David Crowley, Milwaukee County exec, is strongly saying he's going to join, though he hasn't formally joined. He even consulted with my co-host, Angela Lang. What do you know about that? We've got other folks that sound like they're running. Kelda Royce, state senator here from the Madison area, wants to run. You know, I put this question on Facebook to the folks that are on my Facebook page or that follow it. I got several people wanting Josh Call to run, our current attorney general. If he runs, I want Maggie Dawn to run for attorney general. I think that would be cool. And then also another popular person, at least among the friends of mine, so-called friends of mine, the Facebook friends of mine. You know, they're friends and they're Facebook friends.
Yep.
But some of them are both. Anyway, Ben Wickler. People are putting in a word for Ben Wickler, the former head of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, of course, who did a great job when he was at the helm there. So there are a lot of choices. There'll be other names getting in the mix, too, probably. Who do you think I missed, Angela?
I mean, those are the names that I hear the most consistently. I know folks, people are also making speculations because you can see when people open and follow their paperwork. And so usually it's like, you know, Chris for Justice, right? And you have to follow the paperwork. And I think there's like a thing for Ben Wickler. I think I saw like Ryan Clancy, and like they're both coming out and they're like, somebody else started this in my name. This is not me, just so you know. So I think that's where some of the names are coming from. But yeah, no, I really, going back to Joe's comment, right? It's like, what are the qualities that we're looking for? And to kind of bring it back full circle of what we were talking about earlier, about kind of like this division, you know, one of the things, it's like a little tagline that I kept and I feel like resonates with people, but you know, from the North Woods to the north side of Milwaukee, we all want safe, clean drinking water. We all want quality healthcare and quality public schools and good roads. And so similar to what Judge Taylor mentioned is how are we finding those commonalities? Yes, there's a lot of stark differences between Milwaukee and, you know, the Appleton area, right? Like there's so many differences, but there is enough, right? And who is that person that can build a broad coalition and bring people together?
You know, this is a tough question, this question of what qualities we want. I know Maggie, you know, wants someone with government experience, with some executive experience, not just legislative experience. And I want someone who's a fighter. I think this is a time where we really need a fighter. So I'm kind of pulled and tugged between someone, you know, who can bring us together on the one hand, and then on the other hand, someone who's really a fighter. And I don't know if you can have both things. I want someone who can present an image and a set of policies that will help everyday Wisconsinites with housing, with health care, with the things that you mentioned, Angela, with good public schools, good drinking water, clean drinking water, get the lead out of the pipes. And it's not just an urban problem. It's a rural problem, too.
Right.
And that is an issue where there was bipartisan support. I know there was a Republican senator up in the Green Bay area who was pushing it, too, when he was in there. And yet some of his colleagues didn't go along with him. And so things got slowed down horribly. And also there was industry pressure as well. But I want someone who will fight and will mobilize. I mean, this was the point that was made by the head of Citizen Action in Wisconsin, Craig, that, you know, this is a time where we have such horrible things happening at the federal level that we need to have people here who are fighting against that. And Judge Chris Taylor was spelling that out. You know, she was saying we can't rely on Trump, obviously. We can't rely on the U.S. Supreme Court, obviously. And so who's going to protect us here in Wisconsin? It's going to be the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which is now fortunately in progressive hands. And it'll be the governor of Wisconsin who can block if the Republicans still hold both chambers. And that's a real open question, because I think the Democrats now with fairer maps have a chance of flipping one or both of the chambers. You know, what would it mean if Democrats got control of both and the governorship and the Wisconsin Supreme Court? Then we could have, then we could be like Minnesota, because Governor Walz was able to achieve things in Minnesota because they had control of the legislature there. And it's been a long time. I think it's been since 2009 since that's happened here in Wisconsin. And I would just hope that Democrats, if that happens, would be prepared. Like we were talking with our guest, Professor Picard at UPenn, the media scholar who has a great vision for what a different, a real democratic media system, small D, would look like. That Democrats here in Wisconsin need to have a vision of what a better Wisconsin would look like if and when they get hold of power. And I think it's really crucial to spell things out. It's not just a negative. We're not Scott Walker. We're not Robin Voss. We're not Donald Trump. We're not Newt Gingrich, to go back a ways. But we are, you know, we're something different. That's what, you know, real visionary leaders do. That's why I love, still love Bernie Sanders. I'm an old Bernie guy. But I also love AOC, because they just, you know, they're spelling out that, you know, things can be different. And there's this socialist caucus in the state legislature that is spelling out some of those things. There's an economic bill of rights that they've been pushing forward, and Representative Francesca Hong has been at the center of that movement for a couple sessions, you know, where she really talks about, you know, what would it mean if people have real economic rights here in this state, and if we really represented them and gave them what they need. And I meant it when I said, you know, Democrats can't sell, you know, popcorn at the movie theater or peanuts at the ballpark if they can't spell out things that people really want and desperately need. They know in their gut that they need these things. They know that we all know we need clean water. We all know we need affordable housing for ourselves and for our children. I mean, housing costs in Madison are crazy. Housing costs all across the state are crazy, if you're renting or if you're owning. And people need the relief. And that's what government is for, and clean water, health care, good public education, and really to spell it out and what it means. I think we can have a real mandate if they spell things out. That's what Newt Gingrich did. He spelled out, you know, 10 things we're going to do if we get power. They were horrible things. They got power and they ran the 10 things through.
Right.
But it's good. You know, you need to spell stuff out.
And
that's why I think that's really important. And that's why I like what that media scholar, Victor Picard, is doing. And he is following in the footsteps of Robert McChesney. It was nice that Joe gave a shout out to Bob McChesney, oh, good old, great old friend of mine and my wife's, who passed away in March after a terrible one-year bout with brain cancer. But Robert McChesney, sometimes writing with John Nichols here at the Cap Times, spelled out what we need to do to bring about a more democratic media system, a media system that's not in hock to the corporations, a media system that has a lot of funding for public media. You know, part of that conversation, if we can just reflect back on it, it's like, did sound like pie in the sky, because we're so far away from that now. But you really need to. You need to put the recipe for pie in the sky out there. Otherwise, we're never going to be able to taste that pie.
That's true. I mean, I think that there's so much, and I feel like I definitely would love to have him come back if he is willing, because I feel like it's such a big, important conversation that, like, this is structural. Like, if we zoom out, like, you know, the South Park episode making fun of Trump, and it was like, ah, that's funny, right? But, like, that's an act of resistance. Colbert still not tampering down his criticism and, right. and whoever, right? And
John Stewart too. Yeah.
We love John Stewart. I even saw today that Trump, I don't know if he tweeted or whatever, but it was on the news that he was going after a radio host, Charlemagne, because he was being critical about like Epstein. And I'm like, so we're just always going to tweet at people that say things or that we don't agree with or we don't like. This is what we're doing in the media.
I mean, imagine that. I mean, here we have a president of the United States who doesn't have better things to do than to sit there and watch the TV and get out his phone and tweet when someone on TV says something he doesn't agree with. There was Charlemagne. There was Elizabeth Warren today who said something about Trump
that he didn't like
on CNBC. And instantly he texted something about that's what he's doing. He's watching TV.
Don't you have
tweeting.
A job? Don't you have a job, Mr. President?
I mean, it is just, it's amazing. He's either golfing or he's watching TV and tweeting a response to it. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe it's good that he's not at the desk and doing work because everything he does is so horrible. But I mean, like firing the statistician from the Bureau of Labor Statistics on Friday when he didn't like the numbers that were brought in. I mean, this is, we're getting kind of back to the Soviet Union here where they had, you know, as their scientist, Lysenko, a guy who didn't believe in Darwinism, as their head scientist. I mean, that's who he wants, probably as head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Just cook the books for me and make it sound better than it is. I mean, it's that kind of crazy authoritarianism that's coming down from on high. But yeah, that he's spending every day just watching the tube. You know, the Republicans were always saying, you know, who's president of the United States? It's not Joe Biden. Who's running the country? But, you know, if he's just watching TV, you know, who's running the country?
Well, who is running the country? I mean, I think it's also ridiculous. And I think this point, I mean, there's so many things to be upset and frustrated with. So I understand why this might be at like the bottom of the list. But like going back to the conversation about media, there's also something I think incredibly scary of him placing Fox News contributors, hosts, talking heads who are clearly not qualified in these positions of power, right? And so, you know, we sometimes see, you know, press directors, they'll, you know, folks are on MSNBC, right? Like I see how people do that after they leave the White House. It's usually not before, right? And so I think it's just another like angle, is another grab into the media because you're able to control it because you have the talking heads that are in these positions that they are not qualified for. And obviously their former coworkers are going to always defend that. So I think there's some interconnectedness with that. I think that's not, I think it's strategic and I think it's very intentional under Trump's part.
Yeah. If you wanted to be in his cabinet, you should have been working for Fox. I mean, that was the crazy thing. I mean, Pete Hegseth, come on now. I mean, he's just making a total fool of himself every day there over at the Pentagon. He's losing staff every day because, you know, he can't work with this guy. The generals hate his guts. I mean, this is a guy who's way over his head, but Trump liked him on Fox, so he appointed him. I mean, this is why, you know, why we may get through this just because of the incompetence of some of the people around Trump. I'm praying for incompetence and resistance. Incompetence from above, resistance from below is what I'd like
there
to say. And we are seeing the incompetence from above and incompetence from a president of the United States who wastes his time watching TV and responding by text to anything that it doesn't like and then shooting the messenger if it's a renowned economist at the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what we're dealing with now, a crazy authoritarian who's just ruling by whim. We'll be back right after the break with a poem and a bird, and they're connected. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. Phone number is 855-752-4842. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild. She's Angela Lang. Maggie's out today, but we'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Well, I love that Elton John song. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show all across the Civic Media Radio Network here in Wisconsin. Maggie's out today. I'm Matt Rothschild sitting in for her along with my terrific co-host, Angela Lang. It's been fun as always, Angela.
Always. It's such a good show. Also, like, very uplifting show. I mean, we talk about some heavy stuff, but there were some, like, real good glimmers and moments of hope and kind of a little bit of a distant light at the end of the tunnel with some of these things. So I hope the listeners also feel a little encouraged.
Yeah, it was great to hear the media scholar Victor Picard at UPenn chart a vision for going forward. And it was great to hear the enthusiasm from Judge Chris Taylor, who I just find so inspiring. You know, she did great work in the legislature as an advocate for criminal justice reform. I mean, you mentioned that you had talked to her about not blaming, you know, not doing those racist, tough on crime commercials that a lot of Democratic candidates do as a kind of a knee-jerk fallback. And when she was in the legislature, she did a lot of work about lethal force, use of new rules on the use of lethal force by our men and women in the police force. So, and a whole bunch of other things too. So my hat's off to her as a great legislator and a great judge. And I do hope she becomes our next justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Would be such a refreshing change from Rebecca Bradley, who's so toxic.
Yeah, she's just not a pleasant lady.
No, I don't know.
And to clarify my comments, I don't think they need clarification, but like I said, it, you know, her comments were tacky because it was now Justice Crawford's election night, her victory party, and here she was making it about her. And I'm like, girl, go away. You can say this any other time.
Right. Yeah, tacky's okay. Nothing wrong with tacky. And she is tacky.
I think it's tacky.
So anyone who's listened to me on the air here on Civic Media knows that, number one, I'm a crazy bird watcher. And number two, I love poetry. And so I've got a combination. We're going to, the next two nights, be dealing with night birds, birds that come out at dusk. I'm not talking about owls. And that fly around really fast. The one for today is a chimney swift. A chimney swift is a first cousin to the swallow. It's a very small brownish swallow, and they fly in big groups, and they actually live in chimneys or caves in the summertime. And we have a little bit of noise. Jacob, if you could play the chimney swift sound.
It's so cute.
Just little tweeterings, yeah.
So cute. I love it.
Yeah, and you'll see them in groups flying super fast. Some people mistake them for bats. They're not bats. Oh. These are birds. These are chimney swifts. And so just coincidentally and oddly coincidentally, I was reading a book of poems by C.K. Williams, who is a favorite, one of my favorite poems. It was poets, and it was at my desk. The book of poetry is called Repair, but he's got a poem called Swifts, about chimney swifts. So I'm just going to read the last paragraph of it. It's two stanzas. I'll read the last stanza. Tiniest dear ones, but chargers too, gleaming, potent, little coursers of the firmament, smaller, surely, lighter, but with that much force, that much insistence and enchantment, godlings nearly, cast upon the sky as upon a field of thought until then never thought, gravity exempting from its weary weight its favorite toy, oh, you and its delights, you and you, as you hurl yourself across the tint of sinking sunlight that flows behind you as a wake of gold. And the final daylight sounds, you wing back to your eaves with you to weave into the hush, and then your after hush, which pulses in the sky of memory, one last beat more as full dark falls.
I love that poem.
Yeah,
that's
poem good. By C.K. Williams about the chimney swift.
Yeah, look at that.
And there was some discussion on one of the Wisconsin bird e-list that I'm on about baby chimney swifts that were outside of the chimney and needed to be rescued. And I think they were rescued, and because sometimes they will fall, they'll nest in the chimney and it's time for them to fly and they don't fly and they fall to the bottom and they can't get up. And so they need some rescuing. And so they go they found them, and these bird watchers found them and took them to a rehab, bird rehab. And I had a cousin who did bird rehab, shout out to Margie, not of little chimney swifts, but of birds of prey. That's a job I'd like.
Oh.
Rehabbing the hawks and the eagles and the ospreys, and the snowy owls. Wouldn't that be fun? There are great rehab centers, bird wildlife rehab centers, all across the state of Wisconsin. So if you see a bird that's wounded, please call a rehab center. Mm-hmm. I want to just give a few shout outs and thank yous here at the end. I want to thank our guests who are with us today, Angela, Professor Victor Picard of the University of Pennsylvania. He's got a great article in The Nation. Just Google his name, Victor Picard, P-I-C-K-A-R-D, and The Nation magazine. He had a recent article that you can find there that's great. And, of course, Judge Chris Taylor, now a candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. She was a terrific guest. I wish her all the best. I want to thank Joe for her excellent call, as always. It's always nice to hear from Joe, who's got so much intelligent things to say, so many intelligent things to say. And Jacob at the controls, it's always fun working with you, Jacob. You make it so easy. And
yes,
Angela, you make it even easier.
We just have to show up and, you know, y'all handle the rest. So definitely appreciate it because it's a group effort.
Yeah, so much fun. And of course, I want to thank Maggie herself for letting us sub in while she's on vacation.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure and a real privilege to be with you and to be with everyone on the Civic Media Radio Network. I really treasure this network. It's an experiment in pro-democracy radio, and we need more and more of it. Hey, the ever-clever Pete Schwab is next, so stay tuned for that. I'm Matt Rothschild signing off for me and Angela. Have a nice night.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.